Talk to you a little bit about with the time that we have left. Just want to talk to you about character a little bit tonight. When adversity comes and we find ourselves at a crossroad, what do we have a tendency to do? I'm going to talk to you about a couple of men tonight. And the Bible tells us in Philippians 4:13, it says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Many people use that verse. Many of you may know that verse. It's one thing to know it. It's another thing to know how to apply it. So a lot of people, even in my drug addictions group and things of that sort, that's the number one verse that is used in NA and AA and all those. That I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. But the key is knowing it is the first step. But you can't just know it. You have to experience it, and you have to use it, and you have to apply it. So here's the thing. We will all be tested with it from time to time. Your faith becomes tested from time to time. James tells us our faith will be tested. And I believe here tonight, if you have your Bibles, we're going to be in 1 Samuel tonight. We're going to be in a couple of different chapters in 28. We'll start in 28. Basically, I want to bring you up to the speed here. David's kind of went across the lines. He's kind of playing around, trying to save himself from King Saul. He's floating there with the Philistines. He's running over there. And he's on that side, so Saul kind of stopped chasing him for a bit. There's two times that David could have killed Saul we know of. But the Bible says that David says to touch, that we are not to touch God's anointed. Even though we know that he was trying to take his life, David knows that he was trying to take his life, but he still wouldn't do it because that was God's anointed. Sometimes God's anointed man is not always a good man, but he's anointed man. If God touched him and he's still the king, he's still God's anointed. You've got to leave that business to God. And David knew that. Many others would say, just David, take him out now. And then he would remind him, no, that's God's anointed. God will deal with him. And so his character was being challenged, but David had good character in many ways in that area. But tonight we're going to talk a little bit about the difference between Saul to the king of now and the king that's going to be, the one of us prophesied to be. Sometimes Ashley says she hasn't had patience. She struggles with patience. How many of you struggle with patience from time to time? I've struggled with patience. I'm getting better with it. But patience, as someone said, is a virtue. Oh, I want to say when you say that. But patience is a key piece. Because patience teaches us and our character comes forth. But here David had great patience, but he also was at this point where he was saying, Saul's going to get me. Saul's just going to get me. So he runs over and he ends up over on the Philistine side. And they're lining up for battle. Now there's going to be a great battle. This is going to be the battle of battles here. The Philistines are getting tired of Saul. Saul's getting tired of them. But the Philistines are getting bigger and bigger and bigger. And they see that David comes over. Now, David don't go into the battle. We're going to get to that part. Because they're not going to let him get in the battle. Because they're thinking, well, this is the guy that killed the thousands. They sing about killing thousands and tens of thousands. We're going to send him back because he could turn on us. But the battle is getting ready to come. And the battle is getting ready to form. And Saul is scared. Have you ever went to bed? I'm sorry, but my throat is really getting me. Have you ever went to bed really stressed out about what's in the morning? What's coming in the next couple of days? What's in front of your face? Well, we're going to read a little bit here about the character of Saul and what he does and how he's going to make a decision. How many of you ever thought? How many have ever thought that God has left you? How many of y'all thought God is not listening to your prayers? How many of you think that sometimes God's not seeing your problem? Now, come on now, I know we are all there, right? We've all been there. How many of you, and this is the hardest one, how many of you felt that God has forgotten you or he has just become silent to you and you do not hear the voice of the Lord? Been there? Chapter 28, Saul's in deep trouble. He is in some deep trouble. And chapter 28 puts him into the deepest trouble. I think I mentioned it this morning. With all the priests, I mean, the man is going into a rage trying to take David out, and the priests of Nob, I believe there were 70, I think 70-some. Anyway, I might be wrong on that number, but many priests were put to death in that city and at the command of King Saul. But he does something here in this point. And let's go to chapter 28 of 1 Samuel. We'll start in verse 1. Now it happened in those days that the Philistines gathered their armies together for war to fight with Israel. And Achish said to David, "You assuredly know that you will go out with to me with battle with your men." So we see here that David is at this point that they're going to try to put him out to battle. But I want to remind you that he is not going to really fight. We need to hold on to that. Now, let's jump down here. With verse 5. When Saul saw the army of the Philistines, he was afraid. I want to remind you that there was another time when Saul was afraid. Remember that guy named Goliath? Saul really did not make a very good general in the sense of battling. Generals are supposed to be really good at battling. Kings are supposed to make great good decisions. But he just really wasn't good at some of that stuff. But he was afraid. And, you know, they always say you could smell fear. You can always see fear. If you're fighting along someone, you can always see it. It almost seems like when the leader's afraid, everybody else is afraid. When Saul saw the army of the Philistines, he was afraid and his heart trembled greatly. And when Saul inquired of the Lord did not answer him, neither either by dreams or by Urim or by the prophets. Saul is not getting an answer from God. He's not getting an answer from God. This is a place, what I would call a crossroads. There are times, as I shared this morning, sometimes we do not feel like we are getting an answer from the Lord that we know, that we desire, that we want, we feel that we need to move on. Character will rise up into you and rise up into me, and will rise up into the believer, and their decisions that they make next are very crucial. You'll find people that will go to church and some bad things will not happen. Bad things will happen to them, and they will be at a crossroads, and they will make a fleshly decision. We've all done that. But when we make fleshly decisions, and as a Christian, we step out, we hope that we become aware that we made the wrong decision, and we pick it up and we go back to where we started from. Saul struggles with this. He has no patience. He wants an answer today. So it says in verse 7, "Then Saul said to his servants, 'Find me a woman who is a medium or a witch, that I may go to her and inquire of her.' And his servant said to him, 'In fact, there is a woman who is a medium at Endor.' So Saul disguised himself and he put on other clothes and he went, and the two men with him. And they came to the woman by night, and he said, 'Please conduct a seance for me and bring up one for me, the one I shall name to you.'" He is going to a place he has no reason to be there. "Then the woman said to him, 'Look, you know what Saul has done, how he has cut off the mediums and the spiritualists from the land. Why then do you lay a snare for my life to cause me to die?' And Saul swore to her by the Lord, saying, 'As the Lord lives, no punishment shall come upon you for this thing.'" It's amazing how we make promises that we can't keep. And he says, "Then the woman said, 'Whom shall I bring up for you?' And he said, 'Bring up Samuel for me.' And when the woman saw Samuel, she cried out with a loud voice." Now I want to tell you right now, I don't believe this woman was able to, I don't believe this woman was capable of bringing up Samuel. There are many scriptures, I believe, that can show us that. But the first thing I do know that God says that that the witchcraft is the same as rebelling against the Lord. Okay, witchcraft is not something we're supposed to mess with. Sorcery, mediums, there's a luring piece to that that lures people into those things. It can even lure us into those things because there's a mystery about it that's mystic. But we're not supposed to be getting involved with that. We're not supposed to be flipping tarot cards over. We're not supposed to be going to these places. We shouldn't have, even though it's supposed to be a game, we don't need a Ouija board where we're supposed to be speaking and going into a spiritual world. Believe me, there is a spiritual world. Amen?
That's right.
We are not supposed to be messing with those things. And here it is, we see that Saul is doing that. And I did miss a verse here, and I want to share it with you, because he says this, you know that what Saul has done, how he has cut off mediums and the spiritualists from the land. I think I did read it, but she says there is a law that we cannot do this because Saul has cut off all of them from the land. Oh, who's in front of her? The one that made the law, right? So at one time, he said it was the wrong thing. Now he wants to use it, so he makes it okay for himself. And he's doing this because he's at a crossroads and he doesn't know what to do. And so the woman says, who shall I bring up for you? And he said, bring up Samuel for me. And when the woman saw Samuel, she cried out with a loud voice. And the woman spoke to Saul, saying, why have you deceived me? For you are Saul. And when the woman saw Samuel, she cried out with a loud voice. And the woman spoke to Saul, saying, why have you deceived me? For you are Saul. And the king said to her, do not be afraid. What do you see? And the woman said to Saul, I saw a spirit ascending out of the earth. So he said to her, what is his form? And she said, an old man is coming up, and he is covered with a mantle. And Saul perceived that it was Samuel. And he stopped with his face to the ground, and he bowed down. Now Samuel said to Saul, why have you disturbed me by bringing me up? And Saul answered, I am deeply distressed, for the Philistines make war against me. Now I want to stop there for a minute. There's no other point that we ever see these kind of scriptures in God's Word. God just tells us we shouldn't be involved with spiritualists, witchcraft, or those things. There's some things going on here that I don't think, even with some of the great preachers out there today, they've all struggled with some of this. Some of them will say they think they got it down more than others, and that's okay. But it is a place here that we struggle with it. I personally do not believe that this woman had the power to do that, because... that would be stepping into God's, it just seems to be very confusing, but we cannot step into the paradise or Abraham's bosom like that, pull someone up out of rest, all those kind of things. But we do know that maybe God is doing something here. I'm not sure of it, but I do know here that he's in an area that is dangerous. And that's what happens when you get involved with spiritualists, witchcraft. There's going to be things that's going to seem really out of control. And this is exactly what is going on here. So this woman, who is a witch, she begins and feels and she sees this. And the Lord has done for himself. Verse 17, and the Lord has done for himself as he spoke by me, for the Lord has torn the kingdom out of your hand. So Samuel's telling him, he's torn out of your hand, and he's given it to your neighbor, David. Because you did not obey the voice of the Lord, nor execute his fierce wrath upon Amalek. That's going to be very important in the next story. Amalek, therefore, the Lord has done this thing to you this day. Moreover, the Lord will also deliver Israel with you into the hand of the Philistines. And tomorrow, you and your sons will be with me. And they're going to die in a battle tomorrow. Immediately Saul fell full length on the ground and was dreadful afraid because of the words of Samuel. And there was no strength in him, for he had not eaten no food all day or night. And he ends up eating later, and then he leaves the woman and they go. This character of Saul is not a very good character. It is not a very good example for you and I living as Christians today. When we come up against crossroads and we hear things like, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, we say it, but to apply it means exactly at these points. When we get to these points where we feel like God's not answering, we need to have the character such as Job. When Job lost everything that he had, all of his finances, all of his livestock, all of his properties were torn down by the windstorms, all of his servants were destroyed. His health was all beat down from the soles of his feet to the top of his head. He had boils, all those, and all of his children had died. And his wife said, why don't you just curse God and die? He said, foolish woman, the Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And the Bible says he did not charge God with anything wrong. Even at that is the character that God is looking for. That is the character that gets you through hard times. Because hard times will come. Things will happen in our lives. Tough things will come before us. Enemies will stand before us. Adversaries, those kind of things will stand before us. And we see that Saul is choosing to try to find an answer, and he's trying to find a way, and he wants to know it right now. And this is going to cost him now his life and his son's life. Now, as that is going on in the evening night, there's something else that is going on. David was on the Philistine side, and he passes through the review the next day for the battle, and they said, no, you're not going to go into battle. Some of the guys said, he might just turn on us. So he left Ziklag, and now he is going back to Ziklag. Two things are happening in a 24-hour period. Two men of God, one chose to walk into another direction and see a witch. And we're going to see the issue now on how David and his character relies on a situation that stands in front of him. Now we're moving over to chapter 30. We have to skip chapter 29. We don't have time for 29. I just kind of gave you the brief. If you want to check it out later, it's a good piece. Chapter 30. Now it happened when David and his men came to Ziklag on the third day that the Amalekites had invaded the south and Ziklag and attacked Ziklag and burned it with fire. Now David and them are coming back. They're doing their thing. They're now allowed to go to the battle. So they traveled back. This is back on the third day. Here it is, all within this whole thing. And Ziklag now is on fire. They can see the smoke from the horizon. Something is wrong. Verse 2, and they had taken captive. So the let me go back here. It says, the Amalekites. That's what I want to. The Amalekites, remember, back when Saul was looking and seeking out this witch, and Samuel said, back over here, he says, because you did not obey the voice of the Lord, nor execute his fierce wrath against Amalekites. God wanted those Amalekites done with. He wanted them done with. Because Saul didn't do what he was supposed to do, now they have attacked David's family and all his people. And they have burned Ziklag, and they have taken captive the women, back in verse 2, and those who were there. For small to great, they did not kill anyone, but they carried them off and went on their way. So the people that Saul was supposed to take care of, this enemy, he did not take care of it. He's chastised for it. Back there by Samuel, we see this piece here now that David comes back from Ziklag, and those same people that were supposed to be taken care of has now taken everything of David's and all the family members, all the wives, all the children, and everything they had. So verse 3, so David and his men came to the city, and there it was, burned with fire, and their wives, their sons, and their daughters had been taken captive. I want to tell you, if that's happened to you, I mean, if that's something like that's ever happened to you, you can easily be an emotional mess. Then David and the people who were with him lifted up their voices and they wept until they had no more power to weep. That means they cried so much they were done crying. And guess what happens when you're done crying? You're ready to take things in your own hands. You're ready for vengeance, right? I'm going to get mine now. They're going to get theirs. My tears are done. I'm ready to go get mine. I'm going to take care of business. That's the way people are. In verse 6. Now David was greatly distressed. Because listen, he knows what's about ready to happen. Because after people get done crying, now they're ready to start taking care of vengeance. The people spoke of stoning him. His own guys began to think about stoning him. The guys that he went into battle with are thinking about stoning him. Because the soul of all the people were grieved. Every man for his sons. Every man was thinking about his daughters. Everybody's thinking about their families and everything. Everybody's thinking about everything they've lost. But David does something different than Saul. David's standing before the men that's supposed to love him. But let me tell you something about David's men. There's a great guys that are fighting men. There's a great 30 fighting men. There's the great 3. There's all these guys. They're leaders. There's also some scriptures that says some of them were just really bad guys. I'll get you that scripture in a second. But just really mean guys. Very selfish. Not everybody that came to David changed their lifestyle. Even though it says when he gathered them up in the very beginning, they met him in the cave, they were all those who were indebted people, they were criminals. All of them did not change. But David is something different than Saul. Saul went out and he was just very impatient and he sought a witch. The scripture here says David strengthened himself in the Lord his God. David just took a little walk, is what he did. He took a little walk like you and I do sometimes when we just got to get away from people just for a moment, and you got to wrestle with the situation, and you got to know what is real. What is real is I know God is real. My situation is real. I can't fix my situation, but I'm going to strengthen myself in the Lord. And when you pray to the Lord gives you strength. And David, it says, he was strengthened in the Lord. It is the same scripture, I believe, almost as this. Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Then David said to Abiathar, the priest, he goes to the priest, and he says, please bring the ephod here. Abiathar brought the ephod to David, so David inquired of the Lord. Now he's inquiring of the Lord. Shall I pursue the troop? Shall I take them over? And he answered, pursue, for you shall surely take them, and without fault recover it all. So David went, and he took with the 600 who were with him. This is important. And he came to the brook of Besor, where those stayed who were left behind. There were some that were left behind. For 200 stayed behind, who were so weary that they could not cross the brook. They were tired. The adrenaline jumps in. They're moving forward, but some of these guys were tired. They go, and what they do is they find the Amalekites. They destroy them. They get everything back that was theirs. They get all their wives. They get all their family. They get all their kids. They get all their stuff, and then all the other stuff that the Amalekites had. Verse 17 says, then David attacked them from twilight until evening, till the next day. Not a man of them escaped. David did what Saul was supposed to do. Not one of them escaped, except 400 men who rode on camels and fled. He did that. So David recovered all that the Amalekites had carried away, and David rescued his two wives. And nothing of theirs was lacking. So he recovers it all. But when he comes back, something happens. Then all the wicked and the... This is amazing. The Bible says this. Then all the wicked and worthless men who of those who went with David answered and said, because they did not go with us, we will not give them any of the spoil that we have recovered. Now, what's going on here is David says, no, we're going to give some spoils to the ones that did not go. Those 200 guys, they're going to get theirs too. So because they did not go with us, we will not give them any of the spoil that we have recovered except for every man's wife and child. They get what they lost, but they're not getting any extra. But David said, my brethren, you shall not do so with what the Lord has given us. You see, David always remembers that the Lord has given. Amen? David always remembers that it's about the Lord, not about his. And when David would remember, would forget about it, he would find himself in trouble. And we do too. But David said, my brethren, you shall not do so with what the Lord has given us, who has preserved us and delivered us into our hand and the troop that came against us. For who will heed you in this matter? But as his part is who goes down to the battle, shall his part be who stays with the supplies. They shall share alike. So it was from that day forward, he made it a statute and an ordinance for Israel that day. You go out to battle, you come back, even if you're in the rear, you also shall receive. But the story doesn't end. It goes on to the next day. Now the Philistines in 31 fought against Israel. The battle is going to happen. We go back to where Saul is. Verse 3, the battle became fierce against Saul. The archers hit him, and he was severely wounded by the archers. Then Saul said to his armor bearer, draw your sword and thrust me through it with it, lest these uncircumcised men come and thrust me through and abuse me. But his armor bearer would not, for he was afraid. He was greatly afraid. Therefore Saul took his own sword, and he fell on it. And when his armor bearer saw that Saul was dead, he also fell on his sword, and he died with him. So Saul, his three sons, and his armor bearer, and all his men died together that same day. When we begin to take things in our own accord, we see that our character must stand strong. It must be biblical. It must be right. And it's not knowing the Word of God, just knowing it, but it's applying the Word of God to your life. Saul chose to know about what was right and wrong, but chose to do it a different way. David knew what was wrong and he knew what was right, but he chose to do it a different way. David chooses God's way and Saul chooses it his own way. And the cost was death. Now, I know that Jonathan was a pretty good man. If you know the story of Jonathan and his friendship with David, from Scripture tells us that he was a good man. We also know that Jonathan was also the one that went out and fought 20 Philistines and defeated them in a battle. He had more courage than all the others with him and his armor bearer. Sometimes good people will die. Sometimes good people will go through some things. And it'll be hard things. But when it's your decision, you need to make sure your character is the same as what you say it should be. And what you tell others that it is. And what others see it as. The Scripture tells us that I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I want you to turn over to Philippians for a minute before I close out tonight. Whenever you get discouraged, if you feel like you're discouraged any time in your walk with the Lord, I'm going to tell you one of the things is, if you can, there are certain books in the Bible that you can go to, certain chapters, and they're really good. They're really good. But there's something about Philippians that is very encouraging. Read a couple of scriptures through here. I'm going to skim through here real quick before I close. I just want you to think about them as we get ready in closing. Chapter 1, verse 3. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you. Paul says, I thank God because every time I remember you. Always in every prayer of mine, making requests for you, all for joy, for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now. Being confident of this. What he's saying is, you know what he's saying? I'm praying. As we talked about this morning, we need to be in constant prayer. He is in constant prayer, complete always for the people of Philippi. And he says this, being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. I see that with David. I see that a lot with David. In chapter 2, verse 3, let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than yourself. Verse 12. Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. These verses keep us close to what God has called us to be. Verse 20 of chapter 3 says this, for our citizenship is in heaven. Don't put too much stock in this world, guys. Don't put too much stock in it. We have a life to live. Life is a gift. But he says our citizenship is in heaven. Verse 3 of chapter 4. And I urge you also, true companion, help these women who labored with me in the gospel with Clement, also and the rest of my fellow workers whose name are written in the book of life. Verse 6. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Verse 13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Verse 19, and my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches and glory, and by Christ Jesus. Did you notice all these had Jesus? When we stick close to Jesus, there's power. When we stick close to Jesus, there's answers. And even when we don't have answers and our supplies are short, God is still the one. Jesus is still the one that is supplying. I believe this, the supplies are coming. They're just not here today. Impatience and uncertainties can cause us to make rash, irrational, and sinful decisions like Saul. We need to be like David. Even though we stand at Ziklag from time to time where everything it seems like is gone and we are shorthanded, we take a step off to the side and we encourage ourselves in the Lord. Yet we have a blessing in front of us, and it's the full word of God that we can read these scriptures that we just read tonight out of Philippians that strengthens us knowing that Jesus is our Savior. We're citizens of heaven, and it's going to be okay. Amen? Amen. Let's go ahead and stand. I want to give you an opportunity tonight. We didn't have an altar call this morning because the altar call was where you were at.